Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On Monday, we shouted out to the Bored at Work Network to do something productive for once and tell us the smartest and dumbest ways your company is saving money to cope with inflation. I might have also added to cope with the credit crunch, because that's also depleting the coffers in many workplaces right now. And we've gotten all kinds of stories back. You can see them all at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we'll talk about them now with a guest, with the goal really being to save your job. Of course, if you're that bored at work, maybe your job should be eliminated anyway. But isn't it infuriating when layoffs are the first response to revenue problems, when there are so many other options that actually value human beings more than, say, paper clips? Well, here are some of the smartest and dumbest cost-cutting moves that you posted. Somebody wrote, smart, forcing employees to become salaried so the company doesn't have to pay overtime. Dumb, choosing to let smart, ambitious employees leave a company by not acknowledging their hard work and potential. Companies don't seem to realize that giving an employee a raise might be less costly than finding a replacement. Someone else wrote, the dumbest small cost-cutting move is to buy the cheapest paper possible for the printers. The paper is really thin and flimsy and jams constantly. We waste probably a quarter of the paper to jams. How is this a savings measure? Overall, the company is totally cheapskate, and it shows. Good employees leave quickly, and no one puts in more than their mandated 8 hours. Someone else wrote, smartest thing, I've been permitted to work remotely 5 days a week. My production has increased, and I no longer pay for gas or tolls or get an extra hour of sleep in the morning. Totally a win-win. The dumbest thing, I am told by employees who have not been granted the privilege to work from home, is that the boss is rationing the pens, keeping them hidden until he sees the ink has run dry from the ones already in use. Someone else, smart. Energy saving. My company has mandated that anyone who leaves the light on at their desk while they get lunch must pay $5. The money will supposedly go to an as-of-yet undetermined charity. But this dumb energy-saving move, the company I've worked for cut costs in the wintertime by not turning on the heat. This one from Charlotte, North Carolina. I am a contractor that sits inside another facility, so often I am privy to seeing what happens in that company and not dealing with it. However, recently something has taken us all aback. To cut costs, they have locked the supply cabinet. To get one pen, pencil, or folder, you have to be approved by the manager. Then the person with the key has to go and get it and bring it to you. Sorry about that, Charlotte. Certainly no company in New York would ever do something like that. And finally, smart. My company keeping ancient tampon machines in the women's room, still 10 cents a piece. Dumb. Not paying whatever additional charges the phone company required to ensure the on-air phone line moved with the radio station. If I hear the Spud Ray designation one more time, I may have to start mailing potatoes to WNYC. How'd they get in there? All right. Before we bring on the guest, here is an article on the British financial news site Finextra. .com today. It says, crunch hits firms looking to energy efficiency to cut costs. Poll. In other words, financial firms hit by the credit crunch are increasingly focusing on energy efficiency to cut costs and combat the impact of a potential economic slowdown, says the UK's Carbon Trust. Around 17% of 60 managers in this survey said they were looking to cut carbon emissions to save money, and that outranked redundancies, which I think means layoffs, 13%, recruitment freezes, 19%, holding salaries or giving below inflation pay raises, 17% as the other favored cost-cutting options. 65%, to get that first number right, of companies in the financial sector said they are looking to trim costs, and 23% would prioritize energy efficiency. So there you go. Let's talk about all of this with Jennifer Merritt, career journal editor for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for coming on WNYC today.
My pleasure. Good morning.
So I think I gave a pretty good sampling there. Did you get a chance to look at our smartest and dumbest ways to cope with inflation board?
I did, and I have to say, I've heard them even outside of your boards. They're pretty common and getting even more common.
I guess so. So are there patterns? I mean, I could pick out a few, but are there patterns in the larger world, and were they reflected in this board?
I think so. Certainly the rationing of supplies. I know a lot of companies have gone to a just-in-time ordering of supplies. So when you get to the last two pens in the box, only then can you go to the office manager to get a new order of pens.
Interesting that that came up twice, right? The rationing of the individual pen.
Crazy. I mean, people start to bring in their own pens after a while, and
that's
then
probably
hope they don't
what
get
they
stolen.
Want. And they probably don't. Yeah. Oh, pens always. They either get stolen or they get lost. Right. I think the world is really divided into two kinds of people: those who leave their pens behind and those who pick up the pens.
Right. Exactly.
but certainly, we also see people don't like layoffs. Obviously, don't like salary freezes, especially if bosses keep getting their raises. And don't like a number of the small things that make life bearable, like the pens and the decent quality paper for the printers and summer hours. A few people posted that their company was cutting summer hours, but it was just depleting morale.
You know, it's the little things like that, particularly in the summer where many businesses are a little less busy. Those summer Fridays where people are able to leave at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock really mean a lot to people. They look forward to them. They plan extra time with their families. It's the kind of thing that makes a person feel good about working in a company. And particularly striking was that many people said they were bored during those extra hours because there really wasn't anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem as much like a cost-cutting measure as companies might think. But certainly the good coffee or even the mediocre coffee, just the fact that it's free and it's there means something to people. And when you cut it off or hoard it or get worse quality, it just feels like, why should I put in any extra effort? So it may save pennies and nickels here and there, but it may do more to harm morale when things eventually pick back up, which they always do.
And it was interesting that even the fact of the existence of this Board at Work network, coined by Jonah Peretti, who came out on Monday to talk about it, you know, and the fact that people responded to this plea and said, yeah, I'm bored at work, and here's one way that we could increase productivity, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, generated a little bit of outrage on the part of other people who posted, who said, you know, there's so much unemployment out there. You're complaining about being bored at work?
Yeah, I did see that. I did notice that. But, you know, one of the things that the people also said is that as people are leaving, they're not replacing them and just dumping the work on the employees that are left.
Right.
That's been happening more
a
and
lot.
More.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to continue to see that for a while. And I wonder if it's really that people are bored or just that they've got so much to do that sometimes, A, they don't know where to start, or B, they just have to take a break and do something mindless for a few minutes to recharge.
I guess. Everybody needs that once in a while, right? Now, listeners, we're going to open up the phones on this. If you posted as part of this smartest thing, dumbest thing your company is doing to save money in this time of inflation and credit crunch, you can call us. I'd really love to hear from employers. How do you figure out where to start to save money? Nobody wants to lay people off. Nobody wants to ration pens. Nobody wants to, you know, turn the heat off in the winter. But you don't want to go out of business either. So if you're an employer or a manager dealing with this sudden spike in inflation, largely due to energy costs, or the credit crunch, leaving you less money to work with. I hope you're not borrowing, though, to, you know, keep the pens and paper flowing. Give us a call. Let's talk about this. Seriously, 646-778-3729 is our phone number, 646-778-3729. And, yes, that does translate to 646-SPUDRAY, if that's easier for you to remember. And we're starting to get positive feedback on SpudRay now after that person complained about SpudRay. Don't mail us any mashed potatoes. Please just call 646-SPUDRAY or 646-778-3729 if you want to talk about these smart and dumb ways to save money at work during this inflationary spike. And we're talking about it with Jennifer Merritt, career journal editor for The Wall Street Journal. And, of course, you can continue to post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. I was actually heartened by that poll cited on Finextra. I don't know if you had heard that before. But the fact that the number, and I kind of mangled the numbers as I was reading it, but the bottom line is simply that the number one thing that employers were looking to, at least in the UK where the poll was taken, was energy efficiency. 23% would prioritize energy efficiency over layoffs, recruitment freezes, below inflation pay raises. And it kind of makes sense, doesn't it, Jennifer? Because if so much of this inflation is being generated by rising fuel costs, then you'd think energy efficiency probably should come first.
You know, it does make a lot of sense. And actually, in the journal today, we have a story on Watson Wyatt Worldwide's raise survey. And one of the things that folks said that they were doing was reducing work weeks, which is another energy efficiency move as well as a cost-cutting move. If you have people coming in less 4 days a week, but perhaps still working the same number of hours, you're saving energy. You don't have to cool the building as much the next day, and you're keeping them from having to spend a lot on gas. But at the same time, I think it's a necessity for every company and actually every individual to try and become more energy efficient.
You mean some companies are going to like 4 day, 10-hour work weeks rather than 8 hours, 5 days a week?
That's actually been happening a lot, particularly in municipal governments. But the survey that just came out said that at least 8% said that they're going to consider it if they need to contain costs further, which is nice in reference to layoffs. If you're going to reduce the work week, is better than not having a job at all, I suppose.
And the state of Utah instituted some kind of mandatory 4-day work week for state employees, I believe.
I believe that's correct, and that was one of the first that we heard about, and it seems that a lot of local governments are also doing the same. It keeps costs down in some ways, both for employees and for the company, or in this case, the local government. They don't have to heat the building, have the security staff, and do all of those types of things on that fifth day. So it makes a lot of sense, and I think you're going to see a lot more of that, and also a lot more companies making that an optional thing for employees.
But wait a minute. If they're going to do that in municipal government, does that mean I can't get a driver's license renewed on a Friday, can't get married on a Friday, can't pay a parking ticket on a Friday?
I think it would be the non-essential offices, maybe the procurement department and not so much the DMV. I think that would cause too much of an uproar. People are driving less, so maybe they don't need those cars.
They better be careful once they label themselves non-essential. Max in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Max.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Well, as a business owner in Manhattan, with the real estate market, the credit crunch has affected my business, which is a nightclub business, a lot, where we were seeing about 40% of our revenue coming from real estate professionals, i.e. mortgage brokers, real estate agents with a lot of disposable income. And because of market downturn and the mortgage downturn, more than the real estate in Manhattan, we have now been only able to open 3 nights a week instead of being open the 5 nights a week that we were, and that's affecting the amount of people that I could have on staff. We've had to let people.
Yeah, that's terrible, because your clientele, it sounds like, was working right in the heart of that sector that's getting slaughtered.
It really is. It's the more, not so much the real estate professional in New York, but the mortgage professional in New York really has, it's just, appeared. No one's getting any funding anymore.
That's, you're going to have to change the motif of the bar and start catering to bus drivers or something.
I think I'm going to have to, but they don't live in Manhattan, unfortunately. It's too expensive to live here.
Somebody. Thank you very much, Max. Good luck out there.
No problem. Thank you.
And, yeah, so there's a business that actually is having to shut down several nights a week. So he says, so that's really a shame. Here's another employer. Cheryl on City Island. Hi, Cheryl. You're on WNYC.
Hi. I'm an HR manager for a museum.
Okay.
But whenever we look at cost cutting or cost savings, we always go to the employees just like us. We're the people that know where you should cut down in our own jobs. And then we give out prizes for the person that, comes up with the best cost savings.
Uh-huh. Can you give me an example of what you've given a prize for?
Yeah, coffee. We had sort of mediocre coffee, and we've had our assistant go out and coffee that was even better and was less.
Hmm. That's good. You got another one?
Over the years, yeah, I'm old. Let's see. Yeah, somebody saved the company millions of dollars in a department one time because they would stock things when they should have sent it to the customer. So, I mean, that was the thing that was no one knew about except the person that ran the stock room.
How about that? And then
we did put a key on our what do you call it, file cabinet, the my cabinet.
Why?
But we keep because I mean, everything, lots of things were missing, so we put the key there, but we keep it there during the day, hanging out.
Yeah.
But at night, we lock it and put the key away.
I see. Okay, Cheryl, those are interesting stories. Thank you very much. And Jennifer Merritt from The Wall Street Journal, you know, thinking back to the survey reported on Finextra, if energy efficiency is the first thing that companies want to go for, that could have all kinds of benefits, right? Because it would be good for the economy, you know, obviously good for their savings, but also good for the environment if this is the motivation that people need to get serious about energy savings. But are there classically smart ways and dumb ways to cope with inflation? Are there typical knee-jerk reactions that experts in management say that CEOs or CFOs sometimes have that seem right but are short-sighted? Are there classics in the smart and dumb category here?
You know, definitely. One of the things that I saw in your Board at Work message board was something about cutting of educational reimbursement.
Yeah.
You know, it makes a lot of sense. Well, you're spending 100% on a part-time MBA would be $20,000 or $30,000 a year, and if you cut back on that, it seems like an instant savings if you have 100 or 50 even employees going, but you really lose out on your bench strength that way, and it makes people want to leave. They're in the middle of a degree program. They're best and brightest. You approve them for it, and now you're pulling back on that perk. That's often cited as something short-sighted, as well as cutting back on training programs and leadership programs. You need more training, more leadership skills in a down or a rough economy than you really do in a good economy. You smooth sail then. I think also cutting some of the little things as a cost-cutting measure, like the coffee, it can be a real morale killer for employees. And certainly salary freezes really come back to bite you down the road. Often companies say they're necessary, and perhaps they are, but you then miss out on that cost of living increase or a merit increase for a year, and you're behind 2 or 3 years by the time you catch up.
Mm. Dave on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dave.
Oh, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, listen, I got to tell you, you know, like I told your call screener, companies are not charitable organizations. Everybody has to work. That's what they get paid for. Now, I had a construction company in Philadelphia. We service the whole Montgomery County and Bucks County out there. And I'll tell you, I lost so much money on pens. You'd be surprised. I mean, hundreds of dollars that the companies spend, not only do they take them home, I mean, rubber bands, paper clips, all this kind of stuff. So what I was doing is say, look, you know, you go out and buy your own pens, I'll reimburse you at the end of the year, bring you the receipt, and so on and so forth. And as far as coffee was concerned, they wasted so much coffee and made such a mess around the coffee machine, I had to stop buying the coffee. I said, you can buy your own coffee and bring it in and cook it. And if you make a mess around the coffee machine, I take the coffee machine out. You know, it's human nature. The more you give people, generally speaking, the more they'll take and the more they'll ruin it for everybody else. Bonuses, I gave bonuses. And instead of laying people off, I turn around and what did I do? I sat everybody down. I apologized to them for a Christmas bonus 2 weeks before Christmas. I said, I can't give them out this year. Two people quit. You know, so you, like I say, the more you give, the more they take.
So how do you navigate that line? Because also the less you give, if you can, you know, this is not, and you're right, obviously, a business is not there to be nice to its employees. It's there to make money. But then there are smart ways of saving money and dumb ways of saving money and ways that defeat morale, and you can be taken advantage of, as it sounds like you were in some of those cases. On the other hand, if it sounds like, you know, gee, Dave is all is I don't want to say all work and no play, because work is not about play. But
right.
if Dave is going to cut corners everywhere and just keep our nose to the grindstone and, you know, not make it a pleasant atmosphere, well, then quality employees aren't going to want to work for you.
Well, quality employees, let's put it this way, quality employees do know you have to put your nose to the grindstone, and I took care of everyone. The thing is, the more you give, see, because they're expecting and anticipating these raises, and I explained to them, you know, I even showed them the numbers, I opened up the books, and whether they understood it or not, I said, look, I said, instead of laying somebody off here in the office, you know, we're going to have to cut corners like this. You know, I hope you all understand. It was a heart-to-heart felt thing.
Mm-hmm.
Two people walked out. You know, so, you know, like I said, that's generally speaking, I'm not thinking everything.
I understand. And it sounds like you did the right thing in communicating the options, because some people will just cut. And you were at least trying to communicate the options to your employee and say, look, we have to make hard choices here, and here's the hard choice that I hope is going to be the least painful. So,
right. All
right, Dave, thanks a lot. Good luck out there. Jennifer, any reaction to Dave?
You know, I think when you're in an industry where you want to retain the best people and there are hiring crunches, and there are some of those industries like accounting and health services, healthcare, those industries sort of have learned a lesson about making sure that you give just enough. And there definitely is an entitlement mentality to a certain percentage of a raise and an expectation of a bonus. But that doesn't mean that they should stop when you're able to do them. I think, you know, Dave did the right thing. He explained why he couldn't do it. He was more than open with his employees about why. And some people will leave if they can find better work elsewhere. But, you know, I think there's a balance to strike between making sure that you do what you can to retain the best people and also running a business.
And obviously Dave felt unappreciated. Probably some of his workers felt unappreciated. We probably should do. A whole other show on this, how both employees and employers feel that the other doesn't get it, right? Have you written about that? Your column seems up that alley.
You know, we're actually working on an interesting story about that right now. There is a lot of misperception and seeing things from different perspective. You might see cutting the coffee as mean and, you know, unnecessary and cheap, whereas the employer might see that as saving someone's job for the year. And I think there's a big gap in communication about those things.
Well, let's get together again and talk about that, maybe when that comes out. Jennifer Merritt, career journal editor for The Wall Street Journal, thanks a lot for coming on today.
You're welcome.
And thanks to all of you who posted in our smartest and dumbest ways your company is saving. During this time of inflation, you can keep posting. People are continuing to post, and you can keep reading them at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we'll follow up on this in just a minute by talking with someone who helps folks who are getting laid off. Stay with us.